This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. It's time to get brutally honest.
Why do you hate Ride or Die so much?
Well, it's like everyone's birthday. Out on a Tuesday. Out with my Ride or Die.
Oh, really? Everyone says that? I've never
with
seen
my
that.
How many besties do people have?
Well, besties are different.
Oh, like, huh.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
How was Vegas, buddy? Did you get on the felt and make magic?
I was on the felt.
Glad to see...
Mullen's back, too.
Yeah, he's back from the trailer park.
The trailer park didn't blow away over the weekend, so there you're good.
Yeah, Mullen's good. I'm good. I survived. I'm back. I did not have a successful trip in terms of the casino. We all bet the Jets on the Friday night. Kind of collectively, we talked ourselves into it. We're like, it's a must-win game four.
I bet the Jets, too.
Felt good about the Jets, and they lost. So
Vegas, Golden Knights. Are Stanley Cup bound? Was there a buzz in the city about Golden Knights?
They really support the team down there. They really do. Now, it's easy to support a team that's in the Cup final in their first year. I've been saying this ever since they announced that they were going to Vegas. I want to see the support when they're 5 years in a row outside of the playoffs, and that's going to happen at some point in their tenure.
They love an England jersey, huh?
Dude. Everything is England. Derek England, James Neal, and Marc-Andre Fleury. That's it. Those three guys.
A Marchessault jersey or a
William Carlson or Riley Smith or Nate Schmidt or something like that? No, they love England because he's from Vegas.
Exactly.
They love James Neal because he had a reputation, school guy. But I was surprised. Like, we were staying at the MGM. We walked into the casino right when we got there. A lot of the dealers were wearing Golden Knights jerseys. And
that's cool.
There are people walking around the city in uniforms and shirts and hats. Well supported.
What about this? What is with the outrage about... I see more posts about how Vegas going to the final is such a joke, and they're pissed. Is that just jealousy?
I think it's a combination of two things. I think these are... I put a lot of thought into it, too, when I was down there. What's happening in Vegas is great for the league, because... We were sitting at bars all weekend, and all they had on was like the Golden Knights games, and they're replaying the games.
Yeah.
So people are flying in from all over the world, and the NHL has exclusivity over TVs in Vegas when their team is playing.
For sure.
Like which is pretty cool, and it was a pretty cool scene. And I got nothing against it. It's no conspiracy theory. They didn't set it up so that they could get to a Cup final.
Right.
Nobody saw it coming.
No.
They worked hard, they've played well, and they deserve to be there, full credit. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of jealousy from every other team in the league.
But this, the comments I'm reading are, this is so bad for the NHL that they took over and took hostage of all these GMs and me. And my response was, a lot of the players are side deals. Like, have these guys instead of this one... They're actually the wrong guys, but they did it for the deal.
Well, here's what I think.
But it all worked out. It's like, why the outrage?
Here's what I think it does. This is what it does for me. It ends what has been a lifelong narrative that I've always heard, that winning the Stanley Cup is the most difficult championship to win. If an expansion team can win the Cup, that's completely garbage. You cannot continue to promote that, because we've just always believed it, because hockey players tell us that.
Oh, so what if the Vegas Golden Knights go through all the rounds and win the Stanley Cup, it's not a tough trophy to win anymore?
It's not the toughest. Well, chance.
What is the toughest then?
Well, I would say the NBA is a lot more tough, considering only two teams have been in the finals for 4 years. So 28 other teams, it's been impossible to win that title.
See, I completely disagree with your comment. You just basically agreed with all the Facebook and Twitter comments saying this is a complete joke. Because Vegas is really good, and they mopped up L.A.
Yeah.
They took care of San Jose in six. And
beat
they
the Jets in five.
Yeah, so...
Oh, I'm not taking away from their accomplishment. What I'm saying is, it's always been promoted. And there's no factual basis for this. It's just, oh, it's the hardest trophy to win. Why? Because we're in Canada and we love hockey? You're telling me it's an expansion team could maybe win it, and it's the toughest championship to win? No chance. No chance. It kills that narrative for me.
Oh, so what were you saying that back when you were popping zits on your face when the Edmonton Oilers were mopping up teams And did you have that comment then on Gretzky and the boys in Edmonton?
No, because they weren't an expansion team. This is an expansion team, dude.
Hey, what about when the LA Kings mowed through everybody, 4-0, 4-0, blew out everybody?
Right, not an expansion team.
Here.
Not an an expansion team is in the Cup Final.
You're right, but let's...
But they're just really good.
I know that. I understand
I'm
going
to chime in here.
Just 10 minutes and this guy's pissing me off.
Hold on a second. Get your facts straight.
It's 6 minutes into the show. They haven't won the Cup yet.
Right.
So there's always great stories every year. Of teams that make it to the Cup, Cinderella stories. Do they win it? Sometimes they don't. So let's not hand them the Stanley Cup right now. Are they favorites? Probably. But you still have to go through the process. So we can have this argument 2 weeks from now. Because I think it's a back burner argument. Because if they go all this way and end up losing in the final, you know what they are going to be? A footnote. They had a great expansion season that went to the finals, and it was amazing, and they were destined to be there. How many times have we seen the Edmonton Oilers in 06, wasn't it? All the way to the finals, lose to Carolina.
Well, the Panthers went
to the Cup. That was the toughest journey in hockey, though,
but,
Jamie.
But that,
well, that's what you guys always say.
According to you.
You guys are always the one that glorify how tough it is.
Why can't they just be a good team instead of a good expansion team? Like, just look at it like that.
Because they're literally an expansion team, dude.
Right.
It can be one and the same.
Literally,
they are a very
I know that. They're an expansion. But why can't they just be a really good team?
They are.
They are.
They're legitimately good really good. I'm not taking away from that
You
fact.
Are, because you're saying it's not the toughest trophy to win anymore because an expansion team's doing
that. Don't you think that hurts the credibility of that take? Do you think it's more difficult to win the Cup or to win the Masters or to win whatever trophy it is, the World Cup, whatever? Because, like, if an expansion team in year one, if they actually do this, I think it kills that take. I think
amateurs are really good now, amateur golfers. If an amateur shows up at Shinnecock Hills and wins the U.S. Open, are you going to say that's no longer the most difficult trophy in golf?
I've never claimed that it was. Only hockey players have always claimed that they have the most difficult trophy to win.
I'm pretty sure in golf you would say the U.S. Open is the toughest major.
It's very tough. Very tough.
So if an amateur won it, would you say, an amateur won it?
Well, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to
it. Exactly. Let's have this argument 2 weeks from now, because I really believe that it's more about, like, it's a great story. I don't think anybody saw this coming from the start of the season. But they're a good team.
He had them picked to finish last overall.
Everybody
did. We all had them picked in the bottom 5 to 10 of the league on paper.
Right.
But I mean, I'll go a step further. Against LA, I was like, LA's a better team. San Jose's a better team on paper. Winnipeg was on paper absolutely a better team, if you ask me. But it doesn't matter.
I think Tampa on paper is absolutely a better team.
Yeah, and Washington.
Yeah, probably Washington too, yeah. On paper, yeah, for sure.
William Karlsson is not Alex Ovechkin.
Or Backstrom, for that matter.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter. What Vegas has done has I don't want to say caught lightning in a bottle. This is a team that's had a great goaltender and played. He's playing all-world net right now. Derek Eglin, the pride and joy of Vegas, jerseys everywhere. This guy is playing in a top four capacity with a system that they move things fast. They are a team that deserves all the credit that they get. But can they do this year after year after year? I don't know. Remains to be seen. But they've had some breakout players. I think William Karlsson is legit. Even if he's not a 40 goal scorer.
We understand that now. They're in the Cup Final. There's no more making excuses or trying to explain it. We've seen it.
Right.
Like, people are texting in. They're like, it's the toughest trophy because they have to win 16 games. Yeah, you're doing the NBA too. Yeah. Like, it's not like the NHL doesn't have exclusivity over 16 wins to win the Cup. I just think from that standpoint, that's difficult to continue to promote if an expansion team rolls in and kicks everyone's ass and wins a Cup.
I'll admit, I think the word expansion rattles a lot of people, because they're like, you know, I was joking the other night because I was in SportsCenter. My 9-month-old son has been a Vegas fan his whole life. Nobody else has.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause guess what? Everyone else has been a fan of somebody else. Unless you were just born a year ago, you haven't been a Vegas Knights fan. So the, you talk about fan base. It's just starting. So in people's mind, they're still having a tough time wrapping their head around this expansion team, this brand new team that didn't exist a year ago.
And that's why I understand the jealousy. Like, to your point, you're saying, like, it's a great story. No one's taking that away from it. Right. It is a great story, and they're a great team, and they deserve to be here. This is not a fluke. They swept L.A. They deserve to beat Winnipeg. Like, they played well.
Yeah,
I'm not taking anything away from it. What I'm saying is I get how everyone else is like, this is crazy, and it's embarrassing for the other individual teams.
That's all it is, Brian.
That's what it is.
I don't think you're really... I'm gonna rephrase what your statement is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I am. You are not saying it's not the toughest trophy to win. You're disappointed the Maple Leafs aren't doing it. People in Vancouver aren't doing it. And it's like, how could, you know, people talk about all these plans they have. What's our window? What's our time frame? What's the Shanna plan? What's any kind of plan? And this guy shows up and all these guys show up and it's 1 year they're in the finals?
Right.
It's jealousy. Well, that's all it is, and that's what you meant to say.
Okay, but maybe there's also another part of that statement that you're making on my behalf that I think is important to get to here.
I will be making a statement on behalf of you later in the show.
Okay.
And we will tape it and we will play it.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. Oh, you can tape it in the other room?
My name is Brian Hayes, and we are going to address the situation.
I think what is important to point out as we transition into a big day in Toronto and the executive team,
right.
Whenever you hear from other teams about how difficult it's going to be or how long it's going to take, this is a point you can make and say, hey, listen, look what Vegas did in a year. Now, I understand that's expansion team. They didn't have any cap ramifications or cap problems, so it is a unique scenario. But I do think what this should allow fans to do throughout pro sports, and specifically the hockey world, is go to their respective teams and say, snap out of it. I'm not giving you five more years to build this thing up. Let's get going. Well, you know, and the Leafs, taking them as an example, they bottomed out a few years ago. They kind of started from scratch. They got into a great cap situation, and now they're starting to build it up.
Yeah.
But now, you know, over the past month or so, there's been a lot of change. Well, like, Lou is out. Now he's going to the Islanders. Hunter's out.
Yeah, I wanted to... I don't know if this is public knowledge, too. I'd like to ask if Jacques Lemaire is still an advisor as well, because he is close with Lou, and he was an advisor to Mike Babcock, and that's another brilliant hockey mind that was kind of behind the scenes that, you know, that I think may have weighed in certain situations and helped out. But I mean, Brendan Shanahan is a really smart hockey man. There's no doubt about that. Kyle Dubas is proven to be an up-and-coming, very smart hockey man. Very impressive when he was in here, was it 2 weeks ago?
Well, we should point out, Shanahan's coming in studio in about 20 minutes. So yeah, Brendan Shanahan in studio later this hour.
The only thing from an optic standpoint, from my view, I guess, is you went from four really bright hockey minds in Lou, Mark Hunter, Shanny, and Kyle Dubas to two. And if Lemaire is another guy, I would say five. And I know that Brandon Pridham are not giving him enough love and some other people that are in the management team. But just the actual core of the optics of it, it looks like they're a little bit depleted in that essence. Now, we don't know what their plan is to hire.
Well, and that's what you got to remember. I mean, I think there's a few different things to point out here. The one constant since day one of this whole turnaround and this revival of the organization is Shanahan, and he's still here.
Correct.
One of the first hires he made, maybe the first one, was Pridham. Now, Pridham's not a guy that everyone is aware of, but he's like a capologist.
Yeah, very smart man.
Very smart guy. He's still here.
Yeah.
His first public hiring in terms of really parading him out, Kyle Dubas, he's still here.
Yeah.
He's shown loyalty to those guys. Babcock's still here. Matthews is still here. The players are still here. So this is not as if Rome is falling because a couple of guys moved on. This was expected. He had to pick someone. It was either Lou, Dubas, or Hunter. And the belief was you were going to pick one and the other two were going to go. And that's what's happened. He picked Dubas. He believes that Dubas is the guy. And I'm not surprised that Lou took off. I'm definitely not surprised that Hunter took off.
Yeah.
The question becomes,
The weird thing about Hunter is I think in that situation where you understood that that was a possibility, You got to be like, when one of your main roles is to prep for the draft and find guys, how does that affect the draft?
That's my concern.
I'm glad that he left now. I am.
Well, I'm glad Lou's out of here. I said this the second that it was announced that Lou wasn't going to be the GM anymore and Dubas was taking over. You don't want the ghost of Lou kicking around. You don't. You don't want him hanging over your shoulder being like, that's an interesting move. You're letting them grow beards, huh? Like, you don't want that.
Right.
I think they're in a better spot with Lou out of here, personally. I know what you're saying about his pedigree and who he is, but I don't think you want him around. He's all controlling. He's all about Lou.
And if you got the job, you wouldn't want him around either. If I got the job and I got the keys to the car, I'd be like, I don't need the support.
Right.
Like, it's my gig now and out.
And the same thing with Hunter. If Hunter's not, if he's half-assing it or half-committed, get out.
Well, that's my point. It better be now, which he did, because heading into the draft, you can't be a lame duck. This is a guy who is controlling.
Well, I don't know the ins and outs of it, Jamie, but isn't it a situation where you're kind of saying, like, can we get through the draft here? And then if you want to take off.
By all accounts, he was willing to do that. And Shanahan and Dubas, I guess, decided we don't want that.
Personally, I think that's the better move.
And we'll get Shanahan to explain why.
I don't know.
But that is my concern. Sorry, Noodles. My concern is that, like, the draft, this is the most important weekend every year for every team.
Right.
You've got to hit triples at a minimum at the draft every single year. You fall off.
I'll say this, though. Throughout the year, you build lists. And Mark Hunter would have been at the forefront of those lists. But the lists don't go away. So now what happens with Mark leaving, the Maple Leafs will still have their list. They will have who they covet. All of the research is there and done. Because a lot of those players that they'll be drafting aren't playing. There's Memorial Cups and there's some championships. But other than that, everyone's done. So the lists have been compiled.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is the right time. Now, whoever is going to take over that role, this will be that his first year of at the draft table. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Dubas was heavily involved.
Well, he's going to be heavily involved. But, you know, he was on top of the Marlies beat all year.
Correct.
And I'm sure he's done some scouting. We know he would have been out there scouting. But is he tracking every CHL team, every college team?
That was the job of the scouts.
Right. Yeah. And that's something I want to ask Shanahan, because rumors are already flying around the NHL world, as everyone knows that they do, that if Hunter leaves, a lot of the guys he's connected to here in the scouting system,
staff,
they're going to leave too.
Right.
So that's where the concern comes. I'm not concerned that Lou and Hunter are leaving, because I always figured they were. I knew this was coming.
Right.
It's if the scouts are like, we're out of here too, then you start wondering, okay, why are they running away?
Right.
Why do they feel like they can't show allegiance to Dubas and Shanahan? And, at some point, the Maple Leafs have to step up and be like, you're not all going.
Well,
like, we need people here.
The staff will be, they've got nothing but resources. The MLSC has nothing but money.
Right.
Like, you out with the old, in with the new, if that's for lack of a better term. Like, they're not just going to be a depleted corpse.
No, of course not.
They're going to
hire people. They're bringing new people.
It'll be just different faces.
Right.
And it'll be shaped the way that Kyle Dubas wants his management team shaped. So this is part of the process. It's just, in the interim, it doesn't, until we know the end game, it doesn't look as good, if that makes sense.
Right. And I think that's why Shanahan's coming up to talk about what's been going on over the past month. You know, why he decided to move on from Lou, why he decided to pick Dubas over Hunter, why they decided to move on from Hunter, even though, by all accounts, he was willing to stick around throughout the draft. So Shanahan will be in studio in about 10, 15 minutes. Lou Lamoriello is on the show around 5:05. We got Johnny Manziel in the 6 p.m.
hour. Tyler Hunt is this guy.
Well, you can't accuse me of just trying to ease back into the show, man.
I thought we were just going to talk about Vegas today, maybe some hot takes, yelling and screaming.
I was fully expecting a mail-it-in Tuesday.
Well, I mean, I saw...
Which
Mulls was
happen.
Gone the other day. This guy was on the golf course at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's a greasy move.
It was
the holiday, like the holiday weekend. You take the Friday.
And he
off?
Calls it a spa day or something. Like he probably just greased out of his tree.
Well, what do you think I was doing on Friday?
Well, you were reading a book and not drinking on the plane, apparently. Or did you break?
I had a couple of beers on the plane.
Of course you did.
I'll tell you what, man. There is the most polar opposite experience on earth. is flying to Vegas and then flying back to Vegas.
There are corpses on the plane flying home.
Dude, that flight was in flames when we landed. Like, people were coming in hot.
Yeah,
there was a point on the way home. I'm not kidding you. I had my headphones in for a long time, and I decided just to do a study. I'm like, I'm going to take them out and listen.
Yeah.
I took them out. You could hear a pin drop. I'm not kidding you. Not one person was speaking for about 30 seconds.
Just not one person was awake.
Nobody was awake. Nobody wanted to be on that flight coming home. It's the most polar opposite experience on earth.
I love it.
All right, Shanahan in studio. Then we got Lou. We've got Johnny Menzel on the 6 p.m. hour. We'll get back into our Vegas hot takes. O's going to make a Brian Hayes statement.
Yes.
I got some takes on the Jays, too. We got to hit on them. Right, the Angels are in town. Trout and Ohtani are rolling through. They just got swept four games against Oakland. There's so much going on. It's a busy Tuesday. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. So Brendan Shanahan is on his way up here. He'll be in studio at some point in the next 10 minutes or so. We got Lou Lamorello on the show in the 5 p.m. hour. So Ray's coming up later in the afternoon. Johnny Menzel at 6:25. That was the big news over the weekend, that Menzel finally took the plunge and agreed to sign in Hamilton. And
living at Tatman's house.
I would Tatman guess.
Tatman and Johnny Menzel in the Hamilton.
You're awesome.
That's the guy you want to talk to,
What if
man?
He comes on the show and he's like, yeah, hung out with Jim Taddy on the weekend. He's going to show me the ropes. Hey?
He would know the ropes of Hamilton.
Yes, guy.
Has Taddy lived in Hamilton his whole life?
I don't know. I thought he lived north, like in Uxbridge or something like that.
Yeah, because like when he was working at Global and stuff.
Yeah.
I guess you can make that commute. I mean, a lot of people do it. A lot of people live in Hamilton and work in Toronto, but.
Yeah. Either way.
He's pretty committed to Hamilton now.
He is.
So that's big news. Johnny Manziel on his way up. And I think it is a good story for the CFL. I mean, they should be promoting this as much as possible. I know that they're going to try to avoid making it feel as if it's the Manziel Football League now. I mean, he's still got to work for it. But right. The question I want to ask him, and I hope we get an honest answer, is whether or not he's putting a timeline on success and a timeline on getting back to the NFL.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a problem with him using the CFL to get back to the NFL. Players do that all the time. And CFL fans are aware of that. CFL fans are aware that American players in particular, but even Canadian players, they want to play in the NFL. There's more money, more prestige. That's what you build towards, playing in the best league in the world. But Doug Flutie was up here for 8 years before he made it back.
Right.
Like, is Manziel going to be in the CFL for 8 years?
I don't think so.
I can't picture that.
No way.
I don't think he wants to be.
We know he doesn't want to be. But if you were to tell him, if you play here for 8 years, you'll get back in the NFL.
He would say zero interest.
I feel like he would, too.
He wants to have a great year the first year and then say goodbye.
I thought he signed a two-year deal. But you could probably
There's
get
probably
out.
Some kind of, I don't even know the logistics or the.
Well, we'll get him to answer that, but what's the Jerry's percentages on Manziel still in the CFL in 3 years?
14%.
You ask him, he doesn't want it to be very high.
But I'm asking you guys, what do you think it
I'm saying 14%.
The guy hasn't played football in 2 years, but it's just like Kyle Dubas is the GM of the Leafs. How do you know until he starts working? That's when you make a percentage.
Oh, really? So you're bailing on a percentage? You're not going to give us one?
Dude, I haven't seen the guy throw a football once in a CFL game. How could I say? Who knows what he's going to be like? I'm sure he doesn't even really know.
You're going to have to give him a little bit of time to settle in. Or, like, say he's a bad
Why would
first
I make
game.
A percentage when I don't know what the
I'm saying 14%
is.
Because
it doesn't really matter. It's a Jerry's percentage.
No. It's because if he's good, he leaves early. If he's bad, he leaves because he's got. He's got a trust fund. The guy flies around in private planes. He doesn't. The Hamilton Ticats, whatever they're paying him, that's couch cushion money for him. So he's not going to be grinding it out for 3 years without a light at the end of the tunnel.
I agree. I don't think he's going to allow himself to be embarrassed either.
No.
Like, I think if he's playing awful, I could picture, like, a mystery injury, and then all of a sudden he just kind of fades away and he's gone.
But I hope he's awesome. I really do. Because
I look forward to watching him play. I loved watching him play.
Will you go to a game?
Yes, I will.
See, I think this guy has really helped, you know, spark a lot of interest. There's diehard CFL fans. Now the on-the-edge CFL fan, this may put him over the top. Well, I'm going to have to see this guy play.
I think what you're going to see is the diehard CFL fans, I don't think they're going to like the promotion that comes with him. They're not going to like how open he's been about getting back to the NFL.
Yeah, but doesn't
they're a pretty sensitive group.
It is, but it looks good on your league if this guy plays really well and goes to the NFL.
I think it does. Yeah, I think it does. I hope it works out for him, but yes, I will go see him. When Hamilton's playing at BMO Field, I'll be down there. Why don't we all get down there?
I mean, we'll ask him to get us tickets.
Is he done with that money sign?
I doubt it.
He's going to do that still?
We'll ask him. He can leave us tickets.
No, he's not.
We might as well start.
Ask him for a Ticats tracksuit.
We need someone else now. We got to start bothering somebody else.
What about jumpsuits? You want like a tracksuit?
I wouldn't wear a Ticats jumpsuit.
I wear a toque. In the winter, a Ticats toque.
I know people in Hamilton within the organization other than Johnny Manziel. I'll make it happen.
Hook it up. Well, Shanahan's coming in. Are you going to ask him for anything?
No.
Have you ever asked him for anything since he's been the president of the team?
No.
I feel like you have.
I find that hard to
believe. I feel like you have, and he flushed you.
I have never.
Would you
ever asked him for anything?
Would you care if I asked him?
Yeah, how about if we? I was like, hey, Shannon.
Just be honest. If you don't want me to ask him, I won't ask him.
No, yeah, hey, you know. But if whatever you want. If you want to ask him, go ahead. If you want to be a D-bag, go ahead.
Are the mics going to go off and you're going to be like, dude, don't be an idiot?
Yeah.
I won't ask him. I'm not going to ask
him. But we're obviously not going to ask him for something free.
No, he's going to ask him if I've ever asked for anything.
Oh, well, then he's going to be like, absolutely. I got a text one day, you know, game, whatever.
Right.
Recently,
I'm not going to do that.
No, you're the host. You can.
No, I wouldn't do that to you, Scotty Mac. Scotty Mac wouldn't do that to you.
He's got Vegas brain.
Scotty Mac is our favorite side piece.
I've noticed.
Did you hear what he was calling him on Friday? Side piece.
How did he react?
He loves it.
He loved it,
dude. When you're gone, we got to go to somebody else. You need a side piece. He's the best side piece in radio. We can't have him every day, but we can have him once in a while.
Right.
That's what a side piece is all about.
He's your guma. Scotty Mac is your guma.
What's a guma?
It's an Italian expression. It's like the mobs. It's basically a girlfriend.
There you go.
You got a wife, and then you got a guma.
Is that a Sopranos?
You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that. Dude. And I usually am all over Sopranos reference.
Get some audio of the boys on the Sopranos talking about their guma.
Wife on Friday night dinner. Saturday's the gumas.
Right. Well, remember in Goodfellas, that was
yes,
the move, too.
That's right, yeah.
You bring the wife out on the Friday and the girlfriend out on the Saturday night.
Classic.
Wow. Man, society's changed a little bit, I would say.
A little bit.
All right, so we got Shanahan coming in studio. He'll be in here in a minute. Get his take. We'll go through the whole order of events because a lot of things have happened here, right, with the original announcement that Lou wasn't going to continue to be the GM. Mm-hmm. And then the Dubas hiring, and now what's going on with Lou to the Islanders, what's going on with Hunter and
obviously,
him being out.
Timetable, for sure.
Yeah, and we got to ask him about the Babcock-Matthews stuff, too. I mean, there's been a lot going on with this team off the ice
right. That
just has not been a part of this program for a number
really
of years.
It hasn't been a standard kind of exit meetings, goodbye for the summer, right? It's busy.
He's cleaning up some house items. That's what he's doing.
Right. Which happens. That's what comes with the territory.
Yeah.
So he'll be in studio. We got Lou Lamoriello around 5:10, the new president of hockey ops down in New York with the Islanders. And the report came out over the weekend. Lou met with Tavares like a week ago.
Which is a little bit...
I don't understand how that's allowed. Like, well, he was still technically employed by the Maple Leafs.
But obviously he either had exited the Maple Leafs or had their permission. Like, you can't just... Or else that's tampering. You have to, there has to be, again, information to the public compared to private. We get 10%. So this could have happened, you know, Lou could have exited 2 weeks ago and they just let us know now. Had to be because you...
Lou is on a witch hunt right now to see who leaked that information.
Well, I got to be honest, man. Lou is in awakening. Well, he's in for a rude awakening with John Tavares, because this is maybe the first time in Lou's history where he has zero leverage and the player has 100% of the leverage. And if John, if
pretty sure Scott Niedermayer walked.
That's what I thought
Brian
too, but I wasn't
walked.
Sure.
He but they
Zach
walked.
Parise walked.
Yeah,
he's not afraid to say. But this is a unique situation.
Different situation.
Couple of different things on that. One, right. By all accounts, he wanted to sign Parise, and Parise is like, "No, I'm going home to Minnesota."
Right.
For $100 million.
For a lot of money.
Exactly.
The Niedermayer stuff that was coming out of the lockout. It was a weird, complicated scene.
Yep.
But by all accounts, doesn't it feel like the Islanders have effectively hired Lou to sign John Tavares? Like, basically, we need to clean up our act and prove to this guy that we've got something moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, and if I was John Tavares, I'd sit in a boardroom and say, look at our goalies. Look what these goalies are doing in the playoffs. So what do you got back there?
Well,
that would be my first comment.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, I will say this. The New York Islanders hired Lou Lamoriello for a lot of different things. This could be one of them, absolutely, but they need to turn the corner. And Gar Snow has been taking heat left and right. I think he's been there for 12 or 13 years.
Well, he was the goalie, and then he rolls right into the front office.
Right. He was a backup goalie.
Garth Algar.
Algar.
But that's, yeah, they needed a changing of the guard, and it sounds like Lou may come in and do that. He may flush some people out.
Well, I fully expect that Lou's going to come in and he's going to run it the way he ran Toronto and the way he ran Jersey.
Exactly.
It's his operation, and they pointed that out in the press release. Like, he has full autonomy over everything.
Right.
But when it comes to Tavares, like, I agree with you. I would guess that Lou is uncomfortable with the idea that meeting got out.
Yeah.
But what's he going to do? Call up John Tavares and say, the next time you leak something, you're out of here? Because Tavares will be like, cool.
I already am.
I'm out of here. Already. What the hell? Who do you think you're talking to? I'm John Tavares.
The amount of control, you're right.
Tavares.
The amount of control, you're right, is a lot different.
Very much so. Like, I would think this is a very uncomfortable position for Lou to be in, where he's walking in and the first thing he's got to do is basically bend the knee to a player.
Yeah.
Basically, just beg him to stay. Doesn't it feel that way?
It does. I mean, he's got the new owner there, he's probably had to sell to him, or not had to sell to him, but say, I'm going to do what I can to keep him here, but there's no guarantee. But you have to lay out all the facts. If this guy, is it Tavares or Tavares? Where are we at here?
It's Tavares, not Tavares. Tavares.
I've always thought it was Tavares, but I'm going to say Tavares.
Yeah.
Because he's owly. He's
yeah, what's your problem?
No, it's just the proper pronunciation.
The whole Vegas thing really rattled your cage, huh?
Yeah, it's done.
Winning a cup is easy.
406.
It's easy to win a cup.
Tavares is, there's no guarantee that he's staying. He may just say, you know what, I'm out. And that's it.
Right. Well, he didn't even have to meet with Lou.
No.
He could have said, sorry, Lou, I'm not interested in meeting.
I'm shocked that meeting even got out.
I'm not. Again, I'm not. Because I honestly think Lou is dealing... That's coming from Tavares.
Animal. Yeah.
It's not coming from Lou.
No.
It's coming from the Tavares camp,
kidding.
I think is doing the exact same thing that the Matthews camp did with the Babcock meeting. Hey, look at how important my player is. The great Lou Lamoriello is coming to meet him. And yeah. And basically, he's going to beg him to stick around. And I think the exact same thing happened with the Matthews-Babcock leak. That wouldn't have been Babcock leaking that. Babcock probably didn't want that out. That's probably Matthews camp being like, look at my guy here. He's got the coach flying into his house to make sure that they're on the same page.
Oh,
that's how I read it.
Hopefully they are. I mean, and the same
thing. No, I know. But the point being is, for 3 years here with the Lou, and for, you know, historically with Lou, no one leaks anything. No one says anything.
Right.
I think this is superstar players pushing back on that, being like, listen, we're going to act like superstars, and if we want to...
do what we want in this.
We're going to play our cards. You play yours, but we're going to play ours.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It is fair, because that's there is no guarantee. But they took the meeting, and we'll see how it unfolds.
Yeah.
I love it. I hope, this is the politics of hockey. The business
I want
of hockey.
To see Tavares hit the market just because I want an interesting offseason.
Well, it's going to be don't you think it's going to be an interesting offseason anyways? Like, there's some teams that have to have good summers. Like the teams that missed like Edmonton, Ottawa, Montreal, for sure those teams. But then, like, let's look at home. The Toronto Maple Leafs have to have a good off season too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've got a team that's, you know, in the minors that's marching their way potentially to the Calder Cup. So you've got some in-house young players that you're keeping an eye on, but you've got some business to tie up. JVR, Komarov, Bozak.
Mm-hmm. That's, to me, that's, those are non-business issues.
You just let all three of them walk?
I'm not paying them the money that they're going to command.
Well, it depends on what the marketplace.
Yeah, JVR is on one tier.
Right.
I think Bozak's on another, and then Komarov's at the bottom of that tier. I
correct.
Mean, he's a fourth-line guy in his 30s. There's not much, I can't imagine there's a huge market for Leo Komarov.
No, but I think there is a comfort level, and depends on, and this is where we will see the difference in Kyle Dubas's philosophy towards players, and maybe a guy like Lamorello's, and how much Mike Babcock covets that player. Let's not forget, it was Komarov that was playing a ton of minutes under Mike Babcock. If he's not available to Mike Babcock, who's the next player that Babcock is going to use in his rotation?
I think the X factor in all this is Bozak, because I think they're pretty loaded on the wings. By all accounts, they got a couple of kids in the minors. Like that Grundstrom kid, he's having a really good playoff. They like him a lot. You know, we'll get Shanahan maybe to comment on that if we have time.
But young players, yeah.
I think there's a chance that kid's going to be a part of the program, and maybe he steps in for what Komarov was doing for the most part. But if Bozak walks, you've got Matthews and Kadri. You need a third and a fourth line center.
Correct.
Like, if you don't have Bozak, you got to fill that. Now, maybe this Miro Altonen kid, who, again, they really like and has played well with the Marlies. He's not a kid. He's 24 or 25.
Right.
Maybe he steps in as the fourth line guy, but hey, that's a big
Vegas
hole.
Golden Knights can go to the final with all fresh new faces. Why not give it a shot?
Absolutely. All right, Shanahan's on his way up. He's going to be in studio. Lou Lamorello in about a half an hour. Johnny Manziel will join us at 6:25. All right, Johnny Manziel will join us around 6:25. So we caught up with Johnny about 2 months ago prior to the announcement that he was coming up here, and we heard of that announcement over the weekend. We reached back out to him, and he said, yeah, I'll come on. So we got Manziel coming up in the 6 p.m. hour. We've got Lou Lamorello coming up in the 5 p.m. hour. But we have Brendan Shanahan, the president of the Maple Leafs, in studio. What's happening, Brendan?
How are you?
Good. Busy times for you guys, man. I mean, it's been a crazy month. Why don't we begin with the initial announcement? You made the announcement, I guess, a few weeks ago that Lou would no longer be the GM. So take us through that. I mean, actually, let me ask you, first of all, did Lou want to continue to be the GM? Did he make that clear to you?
You know, we really didn't get that far into the discussion. We had we were all aware of his contract situation. I think that, you make plans, but then as you are getting there over the course of 3 years, you're constantly evaluating and assessing what you have in the organization, the direction you're going. As Lou says, you make plans, and then you have a 5-year plan. You change it every day or every week. But as we got a little bit closer, I just sort of looked at what we had in the organization and had decided that that the 3-year time period was the right one. I thought that we had some good candidates within the organization, and just sort of felt that I wanted to be proactive on this and not necessarily wait till everybody's contract was up and sort of skate everybody to free agency and not have anyone available to me as well. So I just thought that the timing was right. You know, when you make decisions for organizations, when you're trying to build, at least this is just my opinion, I think that there's different people for different times of an organization's development. And Lou is certainly somebody that we really needed at the time. And part of him coming in, as much as he took on a leadership role, was also he was very giving in his mentorship to a lot of other people here, including myself. So I think he knew always from the beginning that that was part of what he was trying to provide for me was experience for our office staff, our coaching staff, our scouting staff, our management staff. And so he did a great job for us.
So after that decision, you go into a position where you know Dubas and Hunter both want the job. Were you at all curious to find out what was outside of the organization? I mean, at any point, even leading up to the announcement, like,
Oh, no, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't evaluate what else was out there. I've even heard some people say, why didn't you? I think some people have ideas about how they would do it or decisions they would make or how they would unfold it. But unless you're doing it in a daily practical way, it doesn't necessarily make sense. The suggestion that I would tell Lou that he wasn't coming back and then announce his successor the same day would almost imply that while we were in a playoff run or the playoffs, that I would have to go behind his back and be negotiating with people he was working with every day.
Right.
And that's just not something that I would ever do to him, and just not the way, I don't know that anybody would do that in the National Hockey League. So I felt that I knew we had good candidates. I know that there were some people outside of the game as well that were available. As I narrowed it down, I just felt that our candidates inside, specifically Mark Hunter and Kyle Dubas, were the two best ones.
Mark Hunter's biggest thing that he brings to the table is finding talent and bringing them in the organization. How difficult or complicated or awkward is it going into the draft with him saying that he's not going to be a part of the organization anymore?
Well, I want to make it clear that Mark did offer, he and I and he and Kyle had some conversations, and he felt that he wanted to move on at the end of this year. But he made it clear to me that if we wanted him to remain to do this draft, that he would do that. Upon a little bit of reflection and talking with Kyle Dubas, I went back to Mark and said that we think it would be better off for everyone, including our scouting staff and just all the constituents that support the Toronto Maple Leafs, that we just make the cut now and make it clean and not try to perform any sort of dishonesty or people talk, people understand, people knew what was going on. I think it would be uncomfortable for Mark. I think it would be uncomfortable for Kyle, and it's just not something we wanted to do. So when I spoke to Mark, he actually, in spite of his offer to do that, he agreed that it was probably the best thing to go our separate ways.
Brendan Shanahan in studio. You know the way the rumor mill works. I mean, you guys have done a remarkable job of keeping everything in-house. But with all this movement and everything that's happened, people talk and people start buzzing. Are you at all concerned that your scouting staff will be leaving with Hunter? Or are they fully committed to working with the Maple Leafs?
I think more importantly, you look at Kyle Dubas, and he's the general manager, and he'll be making those decisions. I'm sure there are tweaks and changes that he will want to make in how we evaluate and how we present our meetings, just little nuances, not big sweeping changes, but the staff remains. The staff is under contract. I don't imagine a mass exodus. As a matter of fact, Kyle is in Regina right now with many of our scouts watching a couple of games until he rejoins the Marlies tomorrow. We had some people in the office today, so we're all going to miss Mark. We all like Mark very much, but it's not a case now of people running out the door.
Brendan, we were talking before you came on about everything is optics, right? So I was saying, you're a bright hockey mind. Kyle's a bright hockey mind. Lou's a bright hockey mind, as well as Mark Hunter. And I also throw Jacques Lemaire into the mix. I don't mm-hmm. know where he fits. So you've got four really smart hockey people, and then you're down to two. So is it a situation where, you talk with Kyle and you're looking to add to your staff heading into next season to kind of shape up some numbers again? I guess I didn't bring in Brandon Pridham as well as a bright hockey mind.
Yeah, and I'll say this, we're aware of optics. I think optics are important to the extent that you care about what people who invest in your team, their emotions, you care how they feel, and you care that they, for a while there it was about hope, and then it was about trust, and then it was about optimism, but you don't let optics make your decisions for you. So on a day like today, we're always going to feel like it's a day in which we're talking about people departing. So you're definitely going to feel like you've lost some really good voices in the room.
Right.
But we weren't caught off guard by this. We weren't caught by surprise. These are obviously decisions that I made knowing what the likely ramifications were. And so over the next period of time, it'll be about replacing some of those voices. But on a day like today, you definitely appear weaker, and it's our job to sort of just pick up from here and seek out some of those strengths that we had that maybe are missing this morning and replace some of those voices.
Brendan Shanahan in studio. I think unfairly it will reflect on Kyle, and I think there's been some ageism, quite frankly, directed towards him because he's a young guy. He's never been a GM in the league. And this idea that he's a new school, kind of numbers-oriented guy, which I think has probably been unfair as well. And the same thing on the flip side of Mark Hunter, this idea that he's just a grit-grinding, like, rink-rat, old-school guy, right, which probably isn't true either. But take us through your decision-making when it came to Dubas, because that's ultimately what we're dealing with in the future. You've handed the keys over to him. Why were you so comfortable with that?
Well, if you go back 4 years ago when I came on board, first off, let me just say I had never been a team president before. So if the premise was you had to have job experience to do a good to do a job or to try and do it well, then I wouldn't have been hired either. So somebody showed faith in me, which I want to reward those people with good hard work. And so for me, I was always about looking for the best person. If that person had experience, great. If they didn't, I think people sometimes underestimate the work that Kyle has done so far because of his age. Mm-hmm. This isn't his first job. 4 years resurrecting a junior A program in a very competitive league. 4 years as a general manager of the Toronto Marlies. He's built our R&D department. He's built our development program. He's built our sports science department. And like I said, he's a guy that you've got to chase out of a hockey rink. I think he was a great candidate. If you go back 4 years ago when I was hiring people here, I was hiring people strictly based off what I had heard about them and resumes where they had success in other organizations. So I had heard about somebody who did something really well in New Jersey, somebody who had done something really well for Detroit, Sault Ste. Marie, London Knights, Brandon Pridham with the National Hockey League. But over the last 4 years, I've had a behind closed doors view of all of these people and all of these decisions working together so that I was able to make a more informed decision on frankly, some of the information that doesn't necessarily out to the public. I didn't necessarily have to rely on somebody's success in another city. So succession is important to me. I think I have to thank Lou again for so much of the work that he did in helping our people grow. And without, you know, really sort of going through the minutiae and the details of all the things I see in Kyle, I'll just simply say that knowing the ramifications of a day like today where we were going to lose people, I think whatever decision I had to make this summer for a general manager, I was likely going to lose the other two.
Right.
So rather than focus on what we were going to lose, I really focused my energy on what we were going to gain. And I thought that the best person for the Maple Leafs going forward was going to be Kyle Dubas.
So does your role change at all? Like now that, you know, Dubas is here, lose out.
Yeah,
how does your role change in terms of the hockey operations?
I don't think my role changes. I think that people, again, underestimate, maybe it's ageism, Kyle's competence, the same way that I gave Lou the freedom to make choices and to be the general manager. You have to do the same for Kyle. There to support him the same way I was there to support Lou. There are a lot of people that will imagine different dynamics that, you know, the coach or different scouts. People respect the position. Lou actually had a great respect for the pyramid of a hockey organization. I would say there's even been some stuff that I've heard and read that concern about Mike. You know, Mike is a guy that is always going to give his opinion, but he's never going to demand his opinions are met. And so, again, the dynamic between Mike and Lou, Mike and Kyle, I've had 4 years, 3 years to observe it. If I didn't think it was going to work, I wouldn't have made this choice and this decision. I've heard that Mike in his contract reports to me. He doesn't. he's got a contract like every other NHL coach, maybe just some bigger numbers than some of them. Mm-hmm. But he reports to the general manager like every other coach in the NHL. And, look, it's Toronto. People care, and they're going to speculate. And at the end of the day, I've seen those two work together. I've seen them get along. I've seen the respect between the two of them. If I didn't, these are not all new things that are going to sneak up on me. Will we have challenges? Absolutely. Did we have them with Lou? We absolutely had them. That's part of working in hockey.
What do you think about Mike and Austin Matthews, the big talk about them flying to see each other? Is that just the coach wanting to talk with his best player? And
Yeah, you know, I think the only thing strange about it was that it just got reported. And, you know, again, it's that's Mike. Mike's met with several other players. He did it last year as well. He, you know, I think sometimes things get made a little bit bigger deal. Relationship with players and coaches evolve. Mike's tough on players because he expects a lot from them. So did the Jacques Lemaires of the world, and so do the Joel Quenvilles of the world and the Scotty Bowmans of the world. And it's not always pleasant. And I used to say that when I first got here, that if you think Pittsburgh or skipping around the streets, or Chicago or L.A., or skipping around the streets with Daryl Sutter, it wasn't probably nice every day with Daryl Sutter either.
No.
It's the relationship between player and coach, and I commend Mike for, at the end of the year, getting out of the hockey arena environment and going down and sitting with several of our players, sitting with their mom and dad or their wife or their kids, and getting to know them a little bit better.
I've always been fascinated by that dynamic, though, because you can put yourself in both positions, and you kind of have to, now that you're on the executive side of things, you know, you're going to side more than likely with your hirings and with your executive team, but you understand the importance of star players. Hmm. You were one, you were a Hall of Fame player. So if a guy like Matthews reaches out to you, is there some trepidation about talking to him? Do you meet with him? Are you honest with him? I mean, how would you handle a relationship with Austin Matthews as the president of the team, but if he wants to reach out to you and talk to you as Brendan Shanahan, the player, as opposed to the president, his president? I mean, how would you handle a scenario like that?
Well, first off, I would communicate it with the rest of our staff, so there's no sort of behind closed doors or secrets or anything like that. But I would meet with any player on our team, from a star player to a young player at his first ever training camp. If you know, I saw Serge Savard get interviewed recently, and he's somebody that I really respected as an executive. And one thing that he said is you can never forget, although you're no longer a player, you can never forget what it's like to be a player. And so you always try to see things from their perspective and try to remember that although it's a great career, it can sometimes be a difficult job. Not that anybody wants to give it away, not that anybody wants to stop doing it, but it can, you can have your difficult night. So for me, it doesn't matter who the player was on our team. If somebody wanted to meet, I'd communicate with our GM and I'd communicate with our coach, make sure that everybody knew it was happening. And if I thought that was going to be helpful, I would do it.
With Lou leaving, Kyle taking over, obviously he's going to develop his own managerial style. Will some of the things, I guess, come from you as far as, I mean, Lou came in and it was almost like there was this cone of silence. And I don't know if that was from the top down from you to Lou, or Lou said, this is how I like to work as a manager. We noticed it in the media, obviously. Rookie's not available and in certain situations, you know, the facial hair, the things that obviously Lou came with from New Jersey. Is Kyle going to implement some of those things? Are you going to allow him to do that? Are there some things that Lou has put in place that you guys are very comfortable with to continue on?
Again, if I think when you hire a general manager, you have to let him do his job. And you're you know, it's funny, on the way in here, I heard Lou getting interviewed today, and he was describing his new role with the New York Islanders, and he was essentially describing, you know, my job description. You oversee things, and you make sure to the best of your abilities that things are running smoothly, and you put good people in place, and you hope that they all work well together. So I think Kyle probably saw some things from Lou that he really liked. And I think there's probably other areas where he's not going to try to imitate Lou. But certainly, even for myself, there are things that you, working with Lou closely for 3 years, there are things you're going to learn. And shame on you if you worked for Lou Lamoriello for 3 years and didn't learn something.
Brendan Shanahan in studio. Well, you know, in terms of the promotion of players, you know, Lou is always team first. You play for the name on the front as opposed to the back. I wouldn't expect that changes. I mean, that's usually cliched throughout the whole sports world. But you do have some young stars like a guy like Matthews, who's kind of hitting a level here that's almost unprecedented. I mean, you would know this growing up in the city, the, you know, the magnitude of a Sittler or a Solming, Clark and Gilmore, et cetera. But Matthews is on, it feels like he's growing into a different level. Are you comfortable with that kind of celebrity? Do you try to clamp down on that celebrity? I mean, how do you handle that in a city like this where he's as big as he already is?
Well, I think that everybody just has to keep things in perspective of what we're really here to do first and foremost, and that's play hockey. And I think a lot of the rest of it is fun for players. I think that players enjoy social media. I think that to take away some of the things that they have just grown up with, we're different. Players are different from different eras. There's no going out to dinner on the road. Usually they're having room service and playing video games.
Nobody goes out for dinner?
Well, management does, though.
So heartbreaking.
I remember even toward the end of my career, seeing guys on our team playing poker together, and they were all sitting in different seats around the plane. I thought, what's the fun of playing poker if you can't look a guy in the eye and slap the queen down on him? But yeah. Well, that's not poker, that's hearts. But I think that you have to allow them to be themselves. But I always think that, you just have to make sure that the focus is on what's most important, which is playing hockey and having success. I don't think that changes here with our coaching staff that we have, again, with our management staff that we have in place. I don't think that changes whatsoever in any way.
We'll get you out on a kind of appraisal of where your team's at, because you guys have really grown. I mean, 3 years ago, you're the last place team in the league. This year, you're setting franchise records in terms of points and home wins, yet 2 years in a row out in the first round. Like, how close do you feel like you guys are to breaking through and getting over that hump?
Well, we have some challenges in front of us, and I think that there's some important decisions coming up. But I like the direction we're going, and I read somewhere, and it's true, like sometimes duration has to be a part of your plan. And I think that is something that we've really tried to be mindful of is to continue to develop. And, really, quite honestly, it's all things all teams are trying to do. And we're all trying to be better. Right now, there's only three teams left. We all want to get to where they are. We have an idea. We have a plan. Other teams have ideas and plans. Some are similar. Some are different. They might be right. We might be wrong. All I can say is we've been lucky with some of the players we've acquired. We've been lucky with the staffs that we have in place. We feel we're pointed in the right direction, but we have to continually be getting better. The idea of standing still in the NHL doesn't work. You get passed by very quickly. So a lot of the things we've done this summer was a recognition of taking next steps and not just simply standing pat.
He is the president of the Maple Leafs, Brendan Shanahan. We appreciate you fighting the traffic to come up here. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much.
There's Brendan Shanahan, president of the Maple Leafs. Your guy. I didn't ask him the question.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't ask him.
Former teammate.
We'll ask him off the air.
All right. Exactly.
Lou Lamoriello is coming up. Johnny Manziel in the 6 p.m. hour. We're back in 2 minutes.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.